DW Africa Link.
Growing up in Zimbabwe, you know, I used to sit under the jacaranda trees, flipping through old newspapers, trying to understand why America always seemed like the main character on the world stage. Why was it when America sneezed, the rest of us reached for tissues even when we had our own storms to deal with? Now as a journalist, I've come to realize that power isn't just in headlines. It's in the ground beneath our feet. Africa is rich. Not metaphorically, but literally. Lithium, cobalt, gold, diamond, rare earths. The kind of wealth that powers empires. And now US President Donald Trump wants some of it through trade deals with some African countries. So I'm asking, are we still playing by someone else's rules? That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
In a surprise diplomatic play, US President Donald Trump hosted a mini summit with five West African leaders in Washington, D.C. from July 9 to 11, 2025. This marked his first multilateral engagement with African heads of state since beginning his second term. The summit signals a sharp shift in U.S.-Africa relations. Well, gone is the language of aid and humanitarian support. In its place, what Trump calls, in quotes, commercial diplomacy, a model focused on business deals, infrastructure development, and private sector partnerships. The leaders of Gabon, Guinea-Bissau, Liberia, Mauritania, and Senegal were invited to the White House as Washington increasingly eyes Africa's rich mineral resources, lithium, cobalt, bauxite, as strategic assets in the global tug of war with China and Russia. Now, with Africa's mineral wealth in the spotlight, this summit raises pressing questions. Is this a partnership or just a new scramble for Africa's old riches? Well, for this I speak with Professor Mohamed Muson Yelwa and DW correspondent Ben Adam Shemang to unpack what this pivot really means for Africa and whether the continent can leverage its value on its own terms. But I'll start with you, Professor. Are you also shocked or surprised, like many people, that out of 53 countries in Africa, only five were invited by the American president for the summit?
I should be surprised as an African, and then particularly a Nigerian. But Nigeria is seen as the hope of Africa, based on our economic list and then the availability of natural resources that are available for any economy to grow. Nigeria should be one of those countries that should be invited for the summit. And also likewise, South Africa and Egypt, they have the largest economic opportunities. And it shocked me why we are out of those who are out of 53 countries, only five were invited. And these other countries that were invited are not basically large, they have large economic opportunity like we ours. We have mineral resources, we have human resources, and all availability.
But what criteria, in your own opinion, now we're just assuming here, do you think President Trump used to select these five?
I think it based on his economic focus, where he believed these countries that he has decided to select, invited, are quiet countries, and then there's availability of these natural resources abound there. and looking at Nigeria and other countries where he knows that Nigeria have ties, economic ties with places like China and other Western countries. So he believed it would be more competitive to him. That there in those places may be less competitive, since he believed that those people have not gone to those nations to tap their economy, to have agreement with them to tap their economic opportunities.
Did it give you this picture that Trump even knew who these leaders were?
Of course. From what I've done is only preliminary investigations and then coming up to select those countries. Definitely, you have an idea of what those countries will have. I mean, hope, appreciate their invitation. And you know, if you look at those countries, I mean, they have economic issues and they also they are eager to have a tie, economic tie with Western world who will help them to develop their economy. And it serves as an opportunity to them. And that's why when they went there, they gloriously appreciate Trump and then ought to have a tie, economic tie with them.
Right. Now, Ben, coming to you, now the visit by these five African presidents have come and gone, but it surely left behind some dust. I mean, positive and negatives, we're talking of even in the media, social media platforms. What's your comment on that?
I want to talk about the way and manner in which Trump actually received these five leaders. It sounded as if he was never in tune, as if he was never ready to receive them. By the time you're just trying to hasten them up, talk quickly or something like that. And when it reached the turn of the president of Liberia, Joseph Boakai, the kind of impeccable grammar he spoke, I mean, Trump was taken aback. Oh, where did you learn this English language? A kind of. So it sounded like one headmaster was versus a pupil in a secondary school. And Africans, Liberians didn't like that kind of a treatment at all. But we also saw that Trump himself was busy pressing them in terms of their economies are good, they have solid minerals, they have tourism, they can work together with America and all that stuff. But tell me the kind of minerals there are in Mauritania that are not in America. Is it the fisheries? They have in abundance. If you're talking of the oil in Gabon, or you're talking about whatever you can ever think of, they have more in America. But there are more to it than just meet the eye.
Now, Prof, coming back to you, I don't know if you want to also add something to what Ben has said, especially about the relations between Nigeria and America.
The direction of the American toward Nigerian, you know, they feel that, yes, even though we have long time, diplomatic tie with them, they feel like, okay, they may have feeling that we may likely join the BRICS because of other economic opportunity. So definitely, as we object to that, definitely they feel that, yes, we are coming up, we have other interior intentions, and that definitely will affect our relationship, our tie, economic tie with them. And so definitely, they have to look at other ways, and then to think how they'll be able to have a more economic tie with us, which we have to also learn from the past experience we've had with them, because you cannot play over us and come back again and show us that, yes, you are smarter than us. We're Africa. In Nigeria, we're also smart. We have intellectuals. We have those who have been found. We have researchers who have gone through all these things and then recommended to the state. So definitely, we in Nigeria, we cannot tolerate, it's high time that we cannot tolerate some kind of things, even though we have other diplomatic ties with other countries. If the USA is not ready to continue with us, we move to other part of the world who are ready to have a diplomatic tie with us. We have a lot of economic advantage.
But Prof, you're talking at a level of diplomacy and economic ties, right? But is this how Nigerians themselves feel? Because looking at just the feedback and the reactions with this visa retaliation from America, Nigerians feel that the government is doing something wrong, because a lot of Nigerians still want to go to America, still flock in America, and there are many Nigerians in America. Of course, yes, we can open, like you're saying, there are other countries or other avenues that can be opened. But is this what the Nigerians themselves feel?
Yes, you know, definitely. Those Nigerians who have a focus and concentrate on the development of our nation, definitely, they will not feel that way. Because definitely we have opportunity, we have potentials. Why can't we compare? Why are we moving to America? We have a safe country. Why would we move America to develop their economy? Why can't they can come back and invest, make the environment safe and clean, and then develop our nation? We need to rethink about developing our own nation instead of us moving to America, everybody moving to America to have a maybe a job opportunity or economic opportunity. We can create those job opportunities here, and we can boost our economy so that other countries will also have interest in coming to Nigeria to also help us to develop our economy.
Right, right. Now, Ben, just to come also to you, you always obviously converse with a lot of Nigerians when you do your reportings. Your comment on that in terms of Nigerians feeling like the government must do something. We still want to go to America. Our lives are better in America than in Nigeria.
There is a line of divide here. Many people want Nigeria to take it softly, softly when it comes to confronting America, because the youths in particular, they feel that America is a place of so much opportunities. But the older generation is also feeling that, look, if China can first of all trade within itself and thereafter stabilize and start sending whatever they are making back home, Nigeria with this kind of a large population can do likewise. And that is why they are also calling on these youths, think also first Nigeria, just like the Americans are saying America first. Some people are already reading in between the lines. Why would you want Mauritania? Mauritania is Arabic speaking. In other words, there could be some deportees that could speak Arabic. They will send them to Mauritania. When you're talking about Guinea-Bissau, that is Portuguese. You also have some people in Venezuela who speak Portuguese. Those people can go there. These are interpretations. Then those who speak English language will just simply go to Liberia. Then finally, Josie, you see that those who speak French will be sent to Senegal and Gabon. And so that is the thinking. So Nigerians are simply saying, think, shine your eyes, as they say in Nigeria here. And so the line of divide is there. Many people want Nigerians to be careful the way they handle America, because they can simply try to break the backbone of Nigeria when it comes to international influence. Remember, Nigeria, they call it Giant of Africa. It was that name Nigeria used to help in terms of fight against apartheid, independence for Zimbabwe, Namibia, Angola. Nigeria became a frontline state, contributing money, contributing troops, and all that stuff to ensure these people were liberated. At that point, the Naira was stronger than the dollar. You know, it was one-on-one with the pound. Then they decided Nigeria's economic backbone and the Naira, then the influence must be broken. And it so happened. And this is where we are today.
Right. Like Ben says, we need to shine our eyes, like you say, in Nigeria, Professor. Do you think it's time Africa also shines their eyes, looking at even America's trade war with Europe and China, Canada and the rest? Do you think Trump is probably now looking at just another alternative, which is Africa?
Yes, of course. He may have that intention. But also, like Mr. Ben has said, we, Africa, we need to shine our eyes. We cannot continue to be, underdeveloped. We need to develop our nations. And we don't need to completely dependent on others. Yes, definitely, we cannot shy away from taking advantage, economic advantage, or cooperative advantage, because the essence of cooperative advantage is to tie where you have weakness, and then also to also prove or sell what you also have to improve on the other side too. So definitely we need to think, look at what is happening in Europe, look at what is happening in other part of the world. We need to come back to our state, contribute our quotas, and so to make our economic as a prime economic base so that others also see us in terms of economic potential. They also see us as a very important nation to be reckoned with. So we cannot continue to be under that kind of arrangement, economic arrangement, to be fully dependent on them all the time. We are developing. The world is developing. So we can have those as opportunities here. So we need to, Africa need to focus and concentrate and combat. Why are we still over a decade of years and we have all this economic opportunity? We have these abundant natural resources. Why do you always depend on these countries, especially America? You know, we have all the tests to make our, if we make our place a better place for and a safe and a better place for us to live.
Does Africa have anything to gain, Professor, from meetings like this? And also even just to think that President Trump decided to hold his own mini African summit whilst the BRICS nations were meeting in Brazil. What was the idea behind that, in your opinion?
Well, I've always said, you know, Americans think very well and think very fast. Mm. They always work where they will have cheap opportunities and where we have dominations. Their essence, their interior intention is to, the essence where they see opportunities, they come there to tap that opportunity to exploit those economic opportunities. So that would make a good lead or makes the countries to be more focused and more dependent on them. Look onto them. In every case, is there, well, please, America, come to help us. We can help ourselves. Even within the African continent, we can help ourselves. All the technology, all the brains we have, we can concentrate on our home. Why would we allow USA to undermine our potentials, to undermine our economic progress? We are making progress. We are on the track. And so we need to come back and rethink and focus in our nation. Okay, so for him, selecting these few countries, what do you think is the other part of our African countries will feel? And when we also have some of those countries that especially have the economic abundance opportunity, what would they feel? Or is he trying to disintegrate us? Are we not all together? Are we not brothers and sisters in those countries he selected? I know he definitely have an intention. Maybe he feel or he believe if he has done this, maybe other countries will say, oh, America, we are interested. Why do you do this? Why do you left us out? We will go there to complain. But then you're going to have opportunities. Start giving us, thinking of giving us conditions. And right. We always make us to, you know, look onto them as so superior. We are superior within our own rights.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Ben, as we wrap up our discussion, obviously our listeners would want to hear what was the takeaway from this meeting where President Trump was meeting these five West African leaders. Were they able to present any shopping list to Donald Trump, or he just spoke to them and they all dispersed? I know you were really following the story.
Yes, actually, some people went in there with what they call their own shopping list, because they felt that they probably, that notion that America is has everything. So you could see that the president of Senegal simply invited Trump, come to Senegal just for tourism and see what they have. And I'm sure they'll be taking them to this point of no return where slaves were, that gory island, if you've been there, Josie. You just see that once you're in that island, you can never fly. If you dive into the sea, you get the crocodiles and sharks and all that stuff. And some other areas of interest. And bearing in mind that there is this relationship between Liberia and America. Remember that many returnees, slaves from America, were sent to Liberia, and it's one of the oldest liberated country, so to speak, in Africa. So they have that proximity. If you also look at the way Liberians talk, they tend to speak almost the slangs of America. So they want that affinity to continue. Well, Gabon was saying, look, they have oil, like the president, like Trump said, they can always work together and ensure that their countries are developed. But again, they have to be careful, because America does not invest in countries of high risk. For example, Nigeria is talking about railway here and there. It's only the Chinese that have come. Europeans will come with trade delegations with their suits and portfolios, and they, oh, we're going to invest in this and that, and simply disappear. Another one will come like sightseeing. It's always this, the same thing. Also, but again, it could be time that America might be reading in between the lines too. When people are moving towards the BRIC nations as some options, then America cannot continue to say they have the strongest currency, they have the dollar, it is all over the place. Well, BRIC nations are also planning to unseat the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Professor, also, as we wrap up our discussion, your parting words with you, I mean, just advice to other African leaders, rather. I know some of them will listen to this. In terms of preparation, when you go to meet people like Trump, we also saw even President of Liberia only later giving a comment on how he felt when President Trump talked about his English and things like that. And also how Africa should just be prepared, you know, in terms of believing in themselves.
Yes. You see, you know, when an individual see himself as inferior and see other people as superior, they always take toward that direction. You know, Africa, it is high time for us to not underestimate the potentials we have. We have everything, what it takes. Well, we need to come back. When you go back, when you go out to the public like this or meeting with other continents of the world, you also look backward. What are the intentions of your own people? These are the things you presented, not to go by a press singer, maybe thinking you, America will not come to your country, and then they just help you to go. No, they have interests. And then definitely they have exploitative interests, because definitely they will always want what will benefit their country more. So if they think having an economic tie with America will benefit them more, it's not actually true. So we should look into inward and so see if within Africa we can have those economic ties. We have a lot of advantage opportunities. We can bring ourselves together and form this economic tie and try to at least to boost our economy, to boost our potentials, so that we say Africa stay within Africa. Yes, definitely we cannot do without the diplomatic tie with other continents of the world. But at least we should have respect to ourselves. We should have respect to our culture. You know, when people consider their culture first, they'll be able to work in line with their culture. African culture is quite different from American culture. We should come back, because that is the way our ways of life. We should come back to ourselves and then think the areas or respect our norms and value, and then work toward that, so that also other continents of the world will also see how important we are, how potential we are. And we can remain our own. We cannot continue to be dependent of other nations.
Professor Mohammed Muson Yelwa and DW correspondent Ben Adam Shemang in Abuja, many thanks for joining us. Now, Africa holds the keys to the world's future. Its vast mineral wealth powers everything from smartphones to clean energy. But the question is no longer whether the world needs Africa. It's whether Africa will keep exporting raw potential or rise as a global value creator. The time really has come to move from extractive deals to equal partnerships, where Africa sets the terms and shapes its own destiny. Food for thought. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial, crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for
for minds.